Welcome to this deep dive. In this lesson, we're exploring Lesson 4.4, Resilience, Adaptability, and Human-Centered Future Skills. If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now, let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
Exactly. And I'm really glad we're getting into the practical side of things today.
Yeah, me too. Because, thinking about what it actually feels like for you, the listener, to navigate your career right now, it honestly feels a bit like trying to upgrade the engine of an airplane while you are currently flying it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is a highly accurate representation.
Right. Like the engines are roaring, you're at cruising altitude, but someone just keeps handing you new tools and saying, figure it out before we crash.
Yeah, the stakes are undeniably high. And, the velocity of this digital transformation we're seeing, it's constantly accelerating.
Yeah, for sure.
But if we look at the reality of future workplaces, we see this massive shift in what organizations actually value. Mm. I mean, they don't just require you to know how to use that specific wrench on that specific engine part anymore.
Because the parts keep changing.
Exactly. That technical know-how, it has a shrinking half-life. Today, the demand is really for individuals who can, handle the turbulence, recalibrate when the altitude drops, and blend their tech skills with these deeply human capabilities.
Okay, let's unpack this, because while I completely agree with the need to, survive the turbulence, I also hear the word adaptability thrown around constantly in corporate spaces.
Oh, absolutely.
And I just have to ask, isn't adaptability sometimes just a highly convenient corporate buzzword? Like, it often feels like management code for, hey, we are going to constantly evolve your responsibilities, change your career path, and you just have to absorb it all without complaining.
Look, that skepticism is entirely warranted. I mean, we do see those terms weaponized in environments with poor leadership. Mm-hmm. To genuinely understand these concepts, though, we first have to validate the psychological toll. Rapid technological shifts, like integrating AI into your daily workflows or overhauling communication platforms, they create profound cognitive friction.
It's exhausting.
It is. It generates real, palpable stress because it violates our brain's natural desire for predictability. So when an employer uses adaptability to demand quiet compliance in a chaotic environment, they are totally misusing the term.
Yeah, it feels less like adapting and more like just surviving.
Exactly that. There is a critical difference between merely enduring a dysfunctional workplace and actively wielding the core competencies of resilience and adaptability. Mm. Endurance just drains you.
Right. It burns you out.
But true resilience and adaptability, they're actually defense mechanisms. They're growth engines for you, the individual, not just compliance metrics for the company.
So if it's not about silently taking on more work, what is the mechanical difference between those two concepts? Because, in casual conversation, people just use resilience and adaptability interchangeably all the time.
They do, yeah. And they are deeply interconnected, but they function differently under the hood. Let's look at the mechanics. So resilience is your recovery mechanism.
Okay.
It's the ability to absorb a shock, recover your baseline, and actually grow through that specific setback.
So it's about the bounce back?
Right. When a major project fails or, a massive software update wipes out a week of your team's work, resilience is the psychological process that stops your brain from just completely panicking. Adaptability, conversely, is your maneuverability.
Interesting.
Yeah, once you've absorbed the shock, adaptability is how you respond effectively to the new environment. It's your capacity to alter your behavioral course when the rules change.
That makes me think of building a muscle, right? If you want to build emotional resilience, you actually need the resistance of challenges to grow it. It's not just some innate personality quality.
Exactly. You aren't just magically born resilient.
Right. So for the listener who wants to actually start working out this muscle in their professional life, how do they move from theory to practice?
Well, you have to systematically train your brain to handle friction differently. The lesson outlines these specific strategic habits, and the foundational one is developing flexible thinking and continuous learning.
What does that look like in practice, though?
Well, psychologically speaking, when a new tool is introduced, our default neurological response is threat detection. We prefer the known. Flexible thinking is the active practice of overriding that threat response.
So training your brain to approach the unknown with curiosity instead of defense.
Exactly.
I imagine that requires a lot of self-awareness. Like when a new software is rolled out and your immediate internal monologue is, not another one of these. My workflow is already fine. You have to catch that thought and deliberately pivot to, Okay, what friction could this actually eliminate for me?
And that deliberate pivot, that leads directly to the next critical habit, which is actively choosing to view challenges not as threats, but as opportunities for growth. This is cognitive reappraisal.
Cognitive reappraisal. Okay.
Yeah. When your role suddenly shifts, the instinct is fear. But if you can reframe that immediate stressor, say transitioning to a new data management system, as an opportunity to add a lucrative skill to your resume, you literally alter your body's hormonal response.
Wait, really? Like physically?
Yes. You produce less cortisol,
yeah,
which keeps your higher level thinking intact.
Okay, but let's be realistic here. Cognitive reappraisal sounds incredibly exhausting if you don't have the baseline energy to do it. Like, if I'm already running on empty, I'm not going to be able to politely reframe a massive departmental restructuring as a fun learning opportunity.
Which brings us to the absolute necessity of the third habit, concrete stress management skills.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, you cannot outthink a dysregulated nervous system. If you are chronically overwhelmed, your brain is locked in survival mode. You physically lack the bandwidth to be adaptable.
So you have to clear that stress first.
Right. Whether that is intense physical exercise, mindfulness, or just strict digital boundary setting, you have to clear the stress to maintain emotional resilience.
And I assume we don't have to do all this regulating alone, right?
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah.
The final strategy is strengthening your interpersonal and leadership capabilities. Navigating all this digital complexity is a collective effort. Human beings regulate each other.
That makes total sense. Like, having a strong team acts as a buffer. Let's actually ground this in reality, though, because looking at how this plays out in the wild is really helpful.
Definitely.
The lesson highlights a fantastic case study of a graduate trying to transition into a rapidly evolving digital role.
Yes, and what's fascinating here is what actually drove this graduate's success. There's a common misconception that to thrive in a digital-first role, you need to, you know, lock yourself in a room, memorize 5 different coding languages, and become a technical savant.
Right. The lone genius coder trope.
Exactly. But that is fundamentally flawed.
Yeah.
This graduate's ultimate success wasn't due to mastering a specific piece of technology at all.
Because, I mean, by the time you've spent 6 months mastering that specific platform, it's either updated its entire interface or been replaced by an AI tool anyway.
Precisely. Instead, this graduate succeeded by continuously developing communication, adaptability, and collaborative problem-solving skills.
So the human skills.
Yes. Let's say the technical tool they were using broke down. They didn't panic about the tech. They focused on asking the right questions, communicating transparently, and collaborating to find a workaround.
They became the anchor.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Human skills are the ultimate anchor in a turbulent digital environment.
Okay, so what does this all mean for the ethical side of the workplace? Like, when we are so hyper-focused on keeping up with technology, learning the new interfaces, integrating AI, how do we make sure we don't lose the human element in the workplace?
This raises an incredibly important question about responsible use. When organizations discuss responsible use of technology, they usually limit it to compliance. You know, data privacy, preventing leaks.
Right, the legal stuff.
Yeah, but responsible use inherently requires what the lesson calls human-centered skills.
Mm.
Empathy, communication, creativity, and ethical leadership.
So you're saying that responsible use isn't just about securing the data, it's about, well, mitigating the human collateral damage.
Without a doubt. Utilizing technology responsibly means actively managing the stress and uncertainty it inflicts on your team. If you are leading a digital transformation, your most critical job isn't optimizing the software. It's managing the fear and the learning curves of the human beings adapting to that software.
That takes a lot of empathy.
It does. And it means applying creative, human-led solutions rather than just blindly deferring to digital outputs. And AI can recommend firing 10% of the staff to optimize profits. It takes human ethics to look at that output and say, no, we're going to find a different way.
I absolutely love that distinction. The technology gives you the output, but the human being takes responsibility for the outcome.
That's rightfully.
So for the listener who wants to take ownership of this, who wants to manage the outcome, how do they build a roadmap? The lesson brings up this practical activity about creating a personal future skills development plan. What actually goes into that?
So a robust future skills development plan is constructed around 5 specific pillars. You need all of them. The first is setting clear resilience goals.
Okay, resilience goals.
Yeah, and this isn't just a vague intention to be tougher.
Mm.
It needs to be mechanical. Like setting a goal to conduct a failure autopsy once a month where you write down a setback and extract lessons from it without self-judgment.
Oh, I like that. Making it a measurable habit. What's the second pillar?
Adaptability strategies. You need to pre-plan how you will behave when friction occurs. Maybe you commit to micro-experimentation. When a new workflow is proposed, instead of resisting, volunteer to run a pilot program to test it.
Right. Lean into the discomfort. And the third?
Communication priorities. A concrete goal here might be learning to translate dense technical updates into accessible language for other teams.
Yeah, being the translator. That's huge.
It really is. The fourth pillar is leadership development goals. And to be clear, this applies even if you have zero direct reports.
Right, because leadership is about influence, not a title.
Exactly. You can set a goal to mentor a new hire or organize a knowledge sharing session. And then the fifth piece, the power source for the other four, is lifelong learning plans.
It's lifelong learning, yeah.
It is a documented commitment to continuous self-directed education, so your cognitive flexibility never atrophies.
And what's incredibly empowering right now is that you don't need permission or a massive corporate budget to execute this. The lesson recommends some highly accessible digital tools to help. First, you have platforms like LinkedIn Learning, which is fantastic for micro-learning.
Oh, absolutely.
Like if you need a quick course on active listening, it's right there. Then there are deeper platforms like Coursera, where you can access university-level frameworks.
And to actually track all of this, tools like Notion are invaluable. You can build a database in Notion that acts as your personal dashboard. Log your failure autopsies, track your experiments, all in one central hub.
It really removes the friction. It puts the control firmly back with the learner. And, you know, as we start to pull all of these threads together, I want to present the reflection prompt from the lesson directly to you, the listener. I want you to genuinely consider this question today. How can resilience, adaptability, and human-centered skills help you succeed in future careers?
As you sit with that, I invite you to consider one final thought. The specific software you logged into this morning, the coding languages dominating the market, even the hardware you are using to listen to us right now, every single piece of it will eventually become obsolete.
It's inevitable.
It is the fundamental nature of technology. But your human-centered skills, your capacity for empathy, your resilience, your ability to communicate complex ideas, those do not have an expiration date. They function as the permanent operating system of your career. They guarantee your future readiness, regardless of what new tech emerges next.
The permanent operating system, that is such a powerful reframe, because once you have that internal operating system installed, the idea of, you know, upgrading the airplane engine while you're flying doesn't induce panic anymore. You trust your own skills to keep you in the air.
Exactly.
Well, as we close out today's deep dive, I want to encourage you to stay curious, remain responsible in how you use your tools, and keep making those deliberate choices to be future ready. Please remember to review the end of module study guide and take the time to actually complete the workbook activities. That is where the real integration of this knowledge happens.
Yeah, don't skip those.
We also want to warmly acknowledge the phenomenal reference materials that provided the foundational psychology for this lesson, the books Grit, Mindset, and Deep Work. If you want to dive deeper into the mechanics of resilience and focus, those are essential reading. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive and for dedicating this time to your own professional growth. We will catch you on the next one.